think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, continuing with the New York Times investigative reporter Kenneth P. Vogel. His new book, Devil's Advocates, The Hidden Story of Rudy Giuliani, Hunter Biden, and the Washington Insiders on the Payrolls of Corrupt Foreign Interests, The Torturer's Ball. Now, what we have here is a story that is unbelievable, except for Ken has backed it up with interviews and footnotes and cross-examinations over many years. This is not just now. This dates back well into the 20th century and perhaps before it. However, the revelations involve an enormous amount of money transferred between especially states with the worst human relations possible, violent people, to the interlocutors who prosper in Washington on those avenues with fancy offices, that some of which overlook the White House, some of which overlook the Capitol. The man who invented the modern style is with us. His name is Paul Manafort. He served some time for violation of the FARA laws that insist that you register that you're working for devil's advocates and that you maintain careful records. Well, Paul Manafort was found not telling everything, not being transparent, while he was a member of the Trump circle. However, Robert Strick, who is a character in this book that is undeniably fascinating, though he's also outrageous, you can't take your eyes off of him, he's an anti-hero, and Rudy Giuliani, and all the other characters around Mr. Trump's campaign you hear from now, and the people who were prominent in the Biden administration, all are part of the story. So we begin with Paul Manafort and what we can learn from his conduct. Ken, congratulations again. The firm at hand is Manafort, Stone, Black, and Kelly. What was it once upon a time? What did it represent? What did it invent?
Well, yeah, John, as you point out, Manafort had a role in it. I mean, he was arguably the godfather of this industry. And by the way, I should say it's not just the foreign influence industry. He really helped shape the lobbying, the domestic lobbying industry. And the way that he did this was he and his partners, whose names are in the name of the firm, they started out as political consultants, helping the campaigns of a number of members of Congress and presidential candidates, helping to elect presidents, including Reagan and Bush. Bush won. And what they realized was, like, after you elect the president, suddenly you are in high demand, or the president or members of Congress, you are in high demand from private sector interests to who are seeking to influence that the president or the members of Congress who you helped elect. And so in Washington, before Manafort, those were like two separate lanes. You had one team who you pay to help elect you, and then there was another group of people who private sector interests would pay to influence the people who just got elected. What Manafort, Stone, Black, and Kelly did was they brought that together under one roof and said, we will help elect these people, and then we will turn around and lobby them on behalf of well-paying clients, in some cases domestic clients. And what Manafort did is first he created that industry, and then he decided to to export that industry internationally. So he was not only helping to elect the Americans, the American public officials, he was helping to elect the foreign public officials by running the campaigns in their countries. And then he would turn around and tell the foreign officials, now you can pay me and I will influence the American president, who I also helped elect, and began sort of serving as an unofficial back channel between the Reagan and Bush one administrations and some of these quite unsavory repressive regimes around the world who the U.S. had an interest in sort of either keeping in check or keeping at least a line of communication open with. And, you know, for a long time, Manafort made a lot of money doing this and disclosed at least some of it under Farah. There became a point, however, where, and it wasn't just Manafort, where a lot of the people who were sort of Manafort copycats doing the same stuff basically started treating Farah as more optional and stopped registering as rigorously their foreign activity under the act with the Justice Department. And this was, as you point out, what brought him into the crosshairs of the Justice Department when he reemerged. He sort of disappeared from U.S. politics, Manafort did, because the foreign work was so lucrative. And it was only after 2014 when one of his top paying clients, this strongman Ukrainian president who was aligned with Moscow named Viktor Yanukovych, he was overthrown by street protesters who were appalled by his corruption and kleptocracy and also his pivot towards Moscow and towards Vladimir Putin. And when he left, Yanukovych ended up fleeing to Moscow, not coincidentally, Manafort's gravy train also ended, and Manafort needed to sort of reemerge and sort of resuscitate his U.S., I guess that's the wrong word, refurbish right. His U.S. sort of political reputation. So he signs up with the Trump campaign in 2015-2016 and ends up being sort of thrust into the spotlight again in a way that was unfortunate for him, coincided with the Justice Department's interest, sort of rekindled foreign interest in foreign influence, because the Trump campaign was seen as having back channel relations with Putin. And so Manafort ends up becoming the top target of the Mueller investigation, which had as one of its sort of key arrows in the quiver, the prosecution of people for violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Manafort ultimately was convicted by a jury and then pleaded guilty to other charges, went to jail, and was freed only at the end of the first Trump administration by a pardon from Donald Trump.
One of his proteges is Robert Strick, and we'll come to Robert Strick and the travels, the adventures of our Barry Lyndon figure. But another one of his proteges, I believe, is Tony Podesta, who's in the same business for the other team, but also is worried about Farah and gives up his firm for a while, I believe, and while his brother is in the administration, the Obama administration, I believe, and had a role in the Biden administration. So this is a skill that Manafort inspires people to copy.
Yeah, and Manafort, he, you know, in addition to sort of creating the model for this industry, he was also one of the early champions of creating like bipartisan teams that would work for these often unsavory foreign interests, because he understood that it wasn't enough. I mean, in the Ukraine example with Viktor Yanukovych is a good one, and that's the one that he recruited Tony Podesta to work on with him. But he also recruited, and at the time, Tony Podesta, you're right, his brother John Podesta is in the Obama administration. This is 2010 through 2012, but he also recruited Vin Weber, who is a former Republican congressman who was working with the Romney campaign then and was regarded as a potential Secretary of State if Romney beat Obama in 2012. So Manafort recognizes, like, it's not enough for me to just win over the Obama administration, which is currently in power. I have to have an eye towards what happens if Republicans retake power. So he recruits Vin Weber to this team, and all of the people who he recruited for this team end up coming in under scrutiny from the Justice Department for having violated Farah. Tony Podesta and Vin Weber are investigated. They suffer severe reputational consequences. Vin Weber leaves his firm. Tony Podesta's firm actually collapses under the sort of scrutiny of the Justice Department. There's another guy, Gregory Craig, who was the White House counsel during the first Obama term, who Manafort also recruited. He is actually indicted for not violating FARA, but for lying to the Justice Department in the midst of the investigation over whether he violated FARA. He's acquitted by a jury, which I think is telling because it shows that this law, the Foreign Agents Registration Act, created in the late 1930s, is maybe not up to snuff when it comes to the modern ways that influence is exerted in the foreign space in Washington. But it just goes to show you the way that the pendulum had swung when Manafort and all these other people were doing this type of activity and not registering. FARA was sort of an afterthought, and the Justice Department didn't put a lot of resources into trying to enforce it. And then suddenly there's a ton of resources, a ton of attention being put on it. And all these people, the Podestas, Vin Weber's firm, they're all retroactively trying to bring themselves into compliance and FARA filing for work that they had done in many cases years ago in order to try to avoid the wrath of the Justice Department and these prosecutors. Some did it successfully. Others, like Manafort, went to jail. But I think there was a period of time when there were a lot of people in this industry who were quite scared that the days of the Wild West had ended, and the bill was going to come due in a way that could redound to their detriment.
Let's travel to Africa. Ken Vogel is the author. Devil's Advocates is the book. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.